Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
Collective Minds.
It is what it is.
Peace, 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 family. We in the building. We had a few technical difficulties, but we pushed on through, and we in the building. This is Cosmic Kev.
And this is Girl Rigel.
That's right. And we gonna get our brother Mufasa. Is he on? All right, we're waiting on Brother Mufasa to come in, but yeah, so, but without further ado, like I say, we have some technical difficulties, but we're going to push on through this Collective Minds. We got a lot to talk about. There's been a lot going on in the news this week. So this week is an open discussion. You dig what I'm saying? So give us a call. We can talk about anything and everything that's on your mind. Give us a call. The number's 9-477-1697. This Collective Minds, we all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. So before we get started, Rigel, how was your week? And you got any announcements for us?
I had a great praise, but, you know, I still labeled it as a good week. No complaints. No announcements.
I mean, you kind of breaking up a little bit, Rigel.
No, I
don't know. It's probably something wrong up with the line, Rigel. But it's kind of every time you speak, it kind of break up a little bit.
Can you hear me, Brother Kid?
Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear. Sound like the football game on in the background, but we can hear you though. We good.
Okay. No,
we can hear you though. We good. I was just getting into announcements, and how was your week, my brother? We was just getting into that. So you got any announcements, and how was your week, man?
Man, we've been good, brother. You know, as y'all know, last week I went up to Michigan to hear the minister speak. Up there with a couple of FOI brothers. We had a good time up there. Minister did his thing as usual, so that was a good trip. Today, here in the St. Louis area, the group Better Together, Better Family Life, having a peace festival. They've done it, I believe, going on 19 years now. Usually they do it in Forest Park. This year it's being done in Bell Fountain, at the Bell Fountain Neighbors Park. And from what I'm hearing, the new murder we have, which is the first black man in Bell Fountain Neighbors, is working it out with Better Family Life to bring that event here every year. So I think that's a good thing. That's a good thing because, you know, as far as the area, you know, it's a predominantly black neighborhood, and we need events like this in our community to bring people together. I went today. It was a fantastic time. Everybody was receiving. Everybody was beautiful. I enjoyed myself out there. So I had a good day.
All right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We appreciate it. Again, y'all, this week is our monthly open discussion show. where we just talk about, you know, what's been going on in the news. So it's been a busy week this past week. So we're going to try to dive into a few topics and get to the call lines. You know, we got the Amber Geiger murder case. We got the Trump impeachment. We got locally a lot of things been going on. I think another child was murdered by gunfire. That's been going on. What else? I mean, a 6-year-old young girl was arrested. You know what I'm saying? Just a lot of things been going on in the news. So I guess we should, you know, if y'all want to start with the Amber Geiger case, because I think that Trump thing might, you know, the Trump impeachment or whatever, that may take us a large portion of the show. So we can start with that, with the Amber Geiger trial. For those that don't know, the police officer in Dallas is on trial this week, who had on September 6th of 2018, she claimed she had walked into the wrong apartment and she shot this brother named Botham John in his apartment. So that trial is going on. She's being charged with second degree or manslaughter, which is a second degree felony, and it carries 2 to 20 years in state prison. So that trial has been going on all week. For some reason, they decided to make it public and allow cameras in the courtroom, and they put it on YouTube, which I find very suspicious. But, you know, nonetheless, everybody's able to watch it. We completed a full week. They even had court on Saturday, and they're going to resume this Monday. But when I tell y'all, family, the trial has been crazy. It's like the story from the beginning just doesn't make any sense. But the way that, you know, the defense is trying to play it to make it make sense and to question our sanity, it's like crazy. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Two totally different apartments. She walks in, claims she was tired, and shoots this man 2 times and basically lets him bleed out, you know. But her defense, okay, it's a big black man. I'm 5'5". I didn't know what was going on. I thought I was in my apartment. I feared for my life, and I shot him. So that's what's been going on. I know now, have y'all been watching the trial? I know y'all have been watching it. So do y'all have any thoughts on the trial and what's been going on, what y'all seen so far?
I personally think it's just ridiculous that we even here at this point. You know, everybody knows that she shot him, you know, and everybody knows that he died. Everybody knows that she went into the wrong apartment by accident or whatever. And I know it's been, there are some theories that, you know, was probably some other stuff going on, or maybe it wasn't necessarily a quote unquote accident. Either way, these are all the facts that everybody knows. So what is this whole going to trial for? Just give her the time that she needs. She shouldn't fight anything. And I don't understand why we're here. We know she shot the man. We know he died.
Right,
we know
right.
She was in the wrong apartment. Like, you know, what are we here for? I think it's insulting.
Right. Yes.
So I can tell you why we're here. We're here to see just how much of a big old freak he is. So that's what all I got out of this. But we found out.
Yeah, hell no.
Is a
big
old freak. You know?
A killer freak. A big old killer freak.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy when it's crazy when you're in a position like that and all your business get aired out. You know, he's like,
right.
Dang. I mean, they putting all their business out. She got nasty. She first they done put out there, you know, she was dating this married man and the Texas and the sexting. They going back and forth and talking about how she was giving his member nicknames and begging
for
the pictures. You know, all this. I'm like, my God.
Right.
It's graphic. You know, but another reason why we're here is because, in my opinion, they don't. When they convict, and not convict, but when they bring up the charges on these people, right, especially on these police officers, you know, it's so wishy-washy in what they're charging with. You know, I've heard they went from murder. I mean, they went from manslaughter to murder. Then murder was all back off the table, and two or three other charges got put in. So it's confusing of what they even convicted the kid with, the police officer with. You know, with these police shootings, they don't know which way they're going. See, they try to they try to hit them with the higher charge of murder, knowing they're not going to prove that, and then these police officers walk. And just like Roger said, we know she did it. We know,
right.
You know, she said out her own mouth that she messed up.
Right.
She said she said that herself. So you are guilty of manslaughter, in my opinion. Charge,
yeah,
it,
guilty.
Should be, it should be open and shut.
Yeah,
I don't like the fact that we just want to play around with all these different words either. You know, she's guilty of killing an innocent man.
Right.
You know,
right.
Get all playing around with these little words. I get it, though. I understand, you know, what we in and stuff. But, yeah, but she's guilty of killing an innocent man. She's guilty of going into someone's house, trying to go into her own home and killing a man. She's guilty of that. I mean, forget the manslaughter, Capital One murder, whatever. Forget all those terms. This lady is clearly.
Say it was you that did it. I bet you the day that came on down was something quicker than this.
Oh, if it was me.
They already said if the roles was reversed, what would be the outcome? You got a black man walking into the wrong apartment and shoot a white woman. What would be the outcome? So that's a legitimate question. Now, two things I do find interesting in this particular case. Number one, she claims, now she took the stand. Her testimony, I think she lied at least three or four times. But one particular lie, she said that she gave him, because after she shot him, he was sitting there bleeding out. He was still alive. And she realized she was in the wrong apartment. So you realize you're in the wrong apartment and you don't administer aid to this man, right? The first thing she
did
was
sternum rub.
All she did was a sternum rub. But that's even in question because, like the police, like the prosecutor said, she didn't have no blood on her hands. The first thing she did was go outside and call the police. She texted the old boy who she was having an affair with and said, I need your help. And the prosecution was asking, like, well, why would you text him? You know, why wouldn't you call the paramedic? And this is the other thing that's interesting. The police showed up before the paramedics. You got Dallas police showing up before the paramedics even show up. And while the Dallas police was there, he was still alive. So potentially his life could have been saved. You know what I'm saying? But she neglected to give this man aid after she realized she was in the wrong and let him bleed out. Then she called the police, and they showed up first before the EMT or the medical people. So those two things, that's like, that's interesting. That the fact that you lied on stage and said you administered aid with the sternum rub, that's a bold-faced lie because you had no blood on you. That's perjury right there.
That's what I like to say, prosecutor. Because, you know, to me, he going after her. He ain't playing no games. And I like how he pulled up all the equipment that she had on her. He brought it down how she's a member of the CERT team. He broke out all the training that he has. You just don't just willy-nilly get on this CERT team. That takes a certain level of training to even be on that. He pulled out all her, like I said, all the equipment that she had to administer aid to a victim, and she used none of that. She used none of it. She just did this sternum rub. And the look, if y'all get a chance to go back, the look on his face when he was to ask her, like, you know, showing her what all she had, and he said, and the only thing you did, I mean, he said, you did basically nothing to help this man. And she was like, I did the sternum rub. He didn't say nothing else. He just walked off shaking his head. And he basically rested at that. I said, man, his actions was speaking volumes with that. But it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And
all
then,
the things she had, she ain't doing nothing. A sternum. What is a sternum rub going to do? And you can just blew this man's organs loose.
Two gunshot wounds. And you do a sternum rub. And that's even
right,
expressing
well, actually,
if
well,
he did
only
that.
One hit. Yeah, remember only one hit, though. One hit him. The other one went out the wall, out into,
oh,
right. could have hit anybody, could have hit somebody else. Because the prosecutor
wow.
brought that up, too. He was like, Lord forbid. He said, thank God the bullet that went through the wall and just went off into the night didn't hit someone else.
Exactly.
You know, he could have hit somebody out on the street.
Exactly. Now, the other, yeah, before we move on, the other interesting part was the Texas Ranger who took the stand, and basically they withheld his testimony, but he was the lead investigator on the case. This was a so-called black man who was on the, I think his name is Armstrong. David Armstrong was a Texas Ranger, the lead investigator on this case. They asked him, did he think, you know, was there any criminal activity or did she act reasonably? He actually agreed that she did the right thing. He said that she committed no crime. Even though she walked in and shot this man, he said she committed no crime and she did the right thing based on all the evidence that he had, based on the facts. And now, I'm glad that the judge did not allow his testimony to be entered for the jury. You know what I'm saying? That was a good thing. But, I mean, it's just the way that they're trying to bring these experts up and explain this foolishness is amazing. Like, it's just a straight-up face palm. All you can do is just face palm your face. Like, this can't be real. This can't be real. And I'm predicting, I'm going to just put this out there and we can move on to y'all can comment. I'm predicting if she don't get acquitted, I'm predicting a hung jury, which is even more foolishness. You know what I'm saying? Even if she do 1 to 2 years, I still think she won. You know what I'm saying? She's still getting off easy by doing 1 to 2 years. But I predict a hung jury. And, you know, we'll see where it go from here. You dig?
Oh, she's
so.
She definitely going to get... You know, even if she get hit with the manslaughter, which I think can go from a couple of months up to 20 years, she's definitely going to get
right.
the lowest of the lowest of the end. You know
right.
what I'm saying? So we can prepare ourselves for that now. You know, because that's
exactly.
how they do with these cops. You know, that's
right.
how they do.
And I hope the family in Dallas stay cool. You know, don't get out there. Don't ride. Don't do none of that. Stay cool. Just prepare your minds. Because we know what it is. We've been here before. You dig what I'm saying? This ain't our first rodeo. We know how it's going to go. Even if, like Brother Mufasa said, even if she does get charged with manslaughter, she's going to get a slap on the wrist. So, you know, just prepare your minds. Don't go out riding. Don't go out doing none of that. We just regroup. And we know how to deal with this moving forward. You know what I'm saying? We should be preparing our minds to know how to deal with this moving forward. You know what I'm saying? So,
I think it's very ridiculous that man would get on the stand and say that she didn't do anything wrong and she acted appropriately and all that. I hope if she go to jail, they lock him up too. Because he would have did the same thing because he already said that. So he needs to just go to jail with him.
Exactly. So.
Against some type
yeah.
of crime or punishment
yep.
or something, just for even saying some foolishness like that. And then
right.
because he is an expert witness in the position that he's in, then he's inciting other officers to potentially do the same thing because he's telling them in a professional stand that what she did was okay.
Was okay, right. And
so he needs to result in some type of punishment as well.
Yes, indeed. And the fact that the Dallas, the police that showed up on the scene, like they could be suspected of a cover-up as well because they did not handle this as a potential murder case, even though she was off duty. We got to remember, this is not an officer-involved shooting per se because she was off duty at the time. You know, she should be treated as a civilian should be treated in this particular circumstance. If a civilian mm-hmm. walked into an apartment you know, claiming it was the wrong one or whatever, and they shot somebody, there is going to be handled different. And the police, the Dallas police that showed up at the scene that night, they are liable because they basically just gave her preferential treatment. You know, they just treated like another day at the office and like she was on duty, you know, so.
Exactly.
You know. So we'll see how that play out, y'all. Hopefully, you know, we'll probably have a verdict next week sometime.
Hey,
yeah, what's up?
I wanted to share, I know we're getting off to a late start, but I did want to share an article with y'all of another story that I came across just to see if y'all heard about it. Did y'all hear about that 11-year-old kid that stole his family car to go meet up with a stranger on Snapchat?
No, I didn't hear about
that.
Just,
let me read y'all a piece of this right quick. This happened about a week or two ago. An 11-year-old boy from South Carolina stole a family car to drive about 200 miles in order to meet up with a stranger he met on Snapchat, authorities said. The boy, whose identity was not released, was reunited with his family Monday after driving all the way from his home in Simpsonville, Charlottesville, police said. He pulled over in a cab company's parking lot in Charleston at about 12:30 a.m. and alerted an officer that he was lost, the police said. The 11-year-old told police that he took the Buick LaCrosse and used his father's tablet to follow the GPS instructions to Charleston in order to live with a man he knew from the social media app Snapchat. I'm just going to stop right there. 11-year-old kid stole the car to go live with a man that he met on Snapchat.
Wow.
And he was driving a Buick LaCrosse.
Yeah. Grabbing his family's Buick LaCrosse. Yep.
Okay.
Wow.
Based off the vehicle, I want to assume that the little boy is Caucasian, maybe?
Oh, shoot. I don't know what that is. I don't know what his ethnicity was, but all I'm saying
not
is
that it matters,
people out there,
that's crazy.
Yeah, watch your kids. And then, I'm just tripping off, like, you took the car, and you just decided to go live with this man or that you done randomly met on Snapchat. Was y'all finna have a lawsuit? Who knows what this man would have done to him when he got there? You know, he could have been riding to his death. You know? Could have been, riding to his death. You know, so
that is
just
crazy.
Throwing that story out there, y'all. That's a true story. Watch what your kids doing. Talk to your kids about the things that they doing on social media. Keep an eye on.
Yes, indeed. Keep an eye on, and that's a fact. Now, if you're just joining us, family, this Collective Minds Radio, we are doing our monthly open discussion, and we're talking about, you know, this past week in the news. We going to get to the call lines here in 1 second. I do want to bring this topic up real quick, and then we're going to get to the call lines. And that is the Trump impeachment. Now, just to give a quick background, then we're going to let Raiju and Brother Mufasa comment. Just a quick background. This is a Trump impeachment that came down this week. Nancy Pelosi, who is the Speaker of the House, announced on Tuesday that there was a formal impeachment inquiry into the dealings of President Trump. Now, just a quick history. There's only been three presidents in history that have been in impeachment proceedings. That's Andrew Johnson in 1868, Bill Clinton in 1998 and 99. Now, both of these presidents, they were both impeached by the House of Representatives, but they was acquitted by the Senate. And then we have Nixon in 1974. He was also impeached, but he resigned before it can go to the Senate. So with this Trump case, he's been formally impeached by the House, but it still has to go through the Republican Senate, which I don't think is going to happen. But just a quick background. It all stems from a conversation that Trump had with the Ukraine President Vladimir Zelensky in July 25th of 2019. So July 25th of this year, Trump had a phone conversation with the president of Ukraine. Basically, on the table was about $391 million worth of military aid to Ukraine. Trump, that particular aid was being withheld. So during the conversation, the Democrats are alleging that Trump withheld those funds, but he was trying to get the Ukraine president to investigate Joe Biden, who was a Democratic presidential nominee, and his son, who had business dealings in Ukraine. So this is what they call a quid pro quo. Quid pro quo means a favor for a favor or something for something. So the Democrats are accusing Trump of seeking foreign help to smear a political rival, which is an impeachable offense. So I just wanted to put that out there. That's what's going on. That just came down this week. The Democrats are basically starting the impeachment proceedings. But again, don't get it twisted. Impeachment does not mean that he will be removed from office. This is a long process. It has to go through different branches of government before he's even removed from office. So, yeah, wanted to put that out there. Queen Rija, Brother Mufasa, what do y'all think of this informal impeachment proceedings that we got going on?
I don't really have much thought about it because, like you said, it's not going to happen right away. By the time it actually happens, everything will be over.
You say everything will be over.
I think it's a political game, in my opinion. That's how it looks.
Yes.
To me,
yes.
It's like, yeah, okay, and you can throw that out there. They've been actually throwing the word out there since he's been elected. So it's like, okay.
Oh yeah, since he's been elected, yeah. Right? They could have brought the impeachment proceedings. Yeah.
Yeah, I think personally, I think they all love him. You know, I think they all love him. I think it's like almost like an abusive relationship. They love him. They get mad at him because some things that he say or do, whatever, you know. But ultimately, you know, they love the guy.
Right.
You know, so I think it's a matter of, okay, who's gonna win? It's like a game. Who's gonna win? And it's not really serious. I just think it's just a big game, and if they do decide to really go forth with it, it'll be all over. You know, it wouldn't even matter. We would never realize he's impeached. If it happens,
by the time
we won't even realize it.
Okay. Yes, indeed, Brother Mufasa. Then we gonna go to the call line.
I'll make it plain. Hands off Donald. Hands off Donald.
Hands off Donald. You hear me?
Stop hating.
Hell no.
They don't like Donald. They don't like Donald because he's cocky and he's arrogant. And you know, this is just a smoke and mirror thing. You know, hands off Donald. It ain't stopping nothing. We'll see Donald Trump back in there 2020.
It is what it is.
I agree with that.
And I'll pass that over to the callers. Let them go ahead and turn into that.
Yes, indeed. Let's get to the call lines. It's Collective Minds Radio. We got an open discussion this week. So call us up. Let us know what y'all think, family. 929-477-1697. Let's hit it,
Rigel. Area code 314-568. Calling on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment? Area code 314-568.
Okay, he might just be listening.
Okay, cool.
No. All right, we go to the next call.
Area code 315-767. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, it saddens me to hear that nonsense that Kev is spouting them lies about our president again.
No, I'm just
it is what it is.
I was giving the facts that we know of today. I wasn't saying whether he was guilty or not. I was just giving what's been reported.
They've read the transcript that is a so-called coercive conversation. They've read it. It's already been put out there. Now, that Adam
right.
Schiff put out some stuff that was nonsense, some made-up nonsense that they've been cutting and putting in place of the true words. And
right, now look,
it's been misleading
now
a lot of people.
Right. Now, we got to stay honest because what the White House released was not an actual transcript of the call. They released
it was
a
five
memo.
Pages
so what
of,
that means
– it was five
no,
pages
it wasn't
of the
verbatim,
actual conversation
though.
As it was
no.
verbatim.
No, it was not verbatim.
It was verbatim.
It's not verbatim.
Five
no,
pages,
okay.
word for word, what he said and what the Ukrainian president said. There was
it
no 3.9 million being withheld, and they were discussing the Ukrainian president becoming, man, I got these allergies in my eyes, kicking my butt.
All
right. I can't talk much longer. I'm trying to drive this truck and these allergies in my eye, man.
That's
all right.
Don't worry about
it.
Keep your eyes on
it
the road.
It is what it is.
Stay safe,
okay,
call
thanks for calling me. Apologize.
That's them tears.
Go. But yeah, I mean, now family, if you can,
he's
you can
emotional.
Do your research on this. Yeah, the caller said that the memo that was released was verbatim. Now, information I have, it was not verbatim. It was a memo. It wasn't a transcript. A transcript would mean it was verbatim. It was a memo basically summarizing the call, but it wasn't verbatim word for word. And even that memo is kind of damaging, to say the least. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of damaging when you apply certain things and you know the full context of the conversation. It's kind of damaging.
I see, you know, we talked about this before real quick. I don't see it as damaging. I don't see what the big deal is. I think they're just stirring us up, trying to make it seem like it's something so bad. But and I also look at it, like you said, as not being word for word. If he says, she says stuff, in my opinion, and I'm looking at it like it's some bull. So I don't see what the big deal is over it. They just hate.
Right. Well,
they just hating on the Don. They just hating on the Don. That's all.
No, I mean, now look. Let's be clear. It's definitely political theater, and they're definitely, you know, playing a game. Now, I personally believe that the Democrats are actually desperate at this point, because they knew that they were going to lose the presidential election in 2020. They already knew. So this was a desperate move, kind of like a last-ditch effort to go after Trump. Now, look, I actually credit black people getting on code for this, right? Excuse me. I credit ADOS. I credit ADOS. I credit all the talk about reparations. I credit black people saying, hey, if you don't have a black agenda, we're not going to vote for you. And the Democratic Party is going to crash and burn because they are not addressing the needs of their base, which has been their base for years, and that's black people. And black people have had enough. Black people are fed up, and we're saying we're not going to vote for none of these candidates, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Joe Biden, whoever, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, whoever. We're not going to vote for them unless they got a specific black agenda. And since they have not presented an agenda, they see their numbers are falling down. And this was a result of that. So they like, look, we're going to distract and get away from all that reparations talk, and we go try to impeach Donald Trump, even though they have to. There's no way a Republican Senate is going to impeach a Republican president. It's not going to happen. Now, you may do it in the House because the House of Representatives is majority Democrat, but the Senate is not going to impeach him. So I look at it, you know, the Democrats are just, this is a big distraction for them. Although, no, they're not reaching. Although he did commit a crime based on what I know. He did commit a crime, but I don't think it's going to go through because they don't have the numbers in the Senate to push it all the way through. But let's make no
mistake. I don't
believe
it was a crime.
Trump did commit a crime.
No, I don't see it as a crime. But we'll get a call.
You want to get a call?
Okay. Area call 314-616. Calling you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Peace. How's everybody doing?
Hey, Colin.
How you doing?
Peace.
Hey, I won't spend a lot of time, but, you know, a lot of these things that are going on, we know that there are distractions. I kind of want to throw out there a little bit with this rapper Tekashi 6ix9ine dude or whatever.
That's been a
pretty trending topic. And I made a very interesting point. I think I talked to Kevin about it. I don't think that this guy was actually a snitch. I think he was actually an informant sent from the outside in. And I think that because we don't understand political and military science, we don't see the things coming. Because when you look at his past, and I'm not really familiar with all this music, whatever, but, you know, here you got a guy that just comes out of nowhere. Somebody said he was working as a bagger or a deli grocery worker or whatever it was.
Yes.
And you go from that to hitting the top of the Billboard charts. And anybody that knows anything about artist development is, even in the wave of the internet, this doesn't happen overnight. And this guy has 10 number one hits and, you know, a year and a half. And I just think it was very interesting, you know, let's say he comes out of nowhere and goes from half not to half got, so to speak. But I think he was brought in from the outside to kind of infiltrate the Treyway gang. You know, and we saw this, you know, with the FBI, with Marcus Garvey. We saw it with any type of black liberation movement. So I think in that perspective, he was more or less of a traitor, to say the least, but definitely an informant. So how can you be a snitch when you were already working on that side from the beginning?
Anyway.
You know, and aside from that and the other topics that we talked about, my question is what does black folks going to do to take care of themselves and stop depending on white power? Because with all these smoke and mirrors going on with who's in office, and I don't give a goddamn who in office. You know, my question to black people is, as a collective, what
it
are we
is
going to do
it
to
is.
Free ourselves from our slave master?
No, right.
That's right. I can rock with you on that, bro.
That's a great question. Yes, indeed. I could definitely
said about that Treyway thing, you know, I forget the old boy name who over there, Treyway, but he was throwing it out there.
Scotty.
Connections with the
Scotty, whatever his name is.
Connections with the, I believe it was the Israeli Mossad.
I believe
that's what he was throwing. Yeah, he made accusations of that. So, just like the brother said, it could Tekashi could very well have been put in to help tear that down. I can see.
Right.
I definitely can see.
Yes. I'm with the caller. I'm leaning towards he was a government plant from the beginning, because somebody brought this up. Because I didn't really follow the guy's music, but I did. His interviews were entertaining, like on a Breakfast Club, and, you know, you get a laugh, and it's entertaining. So he was up for a child pornography case. Basically, he had a situation where, and this was, a federal case as well, he had a situation where they was around some young girls. He had video recorded it and put it online, but she ended up being underage. And they had came down on him, and he was actually going through this trial while he was blowing up, quote unquote. You know what I'm saying? So that could be, they could have put a bug in it. That could have been like, look, you're going to do this, and then we go drop these rape allegation or child pornography charges on you or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I think in connection with that case and the fact that he blew up so fast, like the caller said, I think he was a plant. And he was put to infiltrate their gang. He was getting a lot of information, you know, their business dealings or whatever, and all the things they had going on. And he was just put in there basically to bring them down. Now, shame on them guys. That's their own doggone fault, because how you let this guy, a non-black person, he run around saying nigga this, nigga that, blood this, blood that. You let this guy who's look like a white Mexican infiltrate your gang as if he's down. You know he's not about that life, but you let him infiltrate your gang and let him claim all these things. Like, we don't know, like, did this guy get jumped in? We don't know what type of ritual he had. Like, gangs, there used to be some type of protocol to even claiming a gang. You know what I'm saying? You can't just be like, I'm a blood, I'm a crip. Like, there used to be some type of protocol to even being in a gang, but they let this guy, this weasel, just join their gang and claim they sit. And he brought the whole thing down. So that's shame on them. You know what I'm saying? That's shame on them. So, yeah, I think he was a plant from the beginning. It came out that his driver was also an informant. You know, that came out last week. His driver was an informant. And he just came out snitching on everybody. Cardi B, Jim Jones, Trippy Red, the guy at the gas station. Anybody who did anything, he was telling on them. You know what I'm saying? So we going to see how this play out. You know, we gonna see how it plays out.
And then someone say he don't want to have protective custody anymore when he got out.
Yeah, he said he does not want protective custody from, which that's another red flag. They gonna be working with him anyway. He just want to come out. He said he want to come out and start back rapping, and he don't want protective custody. What? That sounds crazy. So any mug, if he gets out, goes on tour, any mug who does songs with him or featured in his videos or featured on his songs, all of them are suspect. They at risk. They definitely at risk.
They at risk. You know, but like you said, you'll want to question why would you even do that?
Why would you even book this kid for a show? You dig what I'm saying? Why would you even book this dude for a show? Like, so it's crazy. Like I say, the rap game has long been infiltrated by the CIA. You know, we know the movie industry and news and all this stuff has been infiltrated as well, but the rap game definitely has been infiltrated. You have high levels of CIA. You got the hip-hop police. They've infiltrated all these labels and all of your favorite rappers. You dig
hip-hop
what I'm saying?
Police, they, you talking about no Rick
mistake. Ross? Now, I ain't talking about Ross. Now, I ain't talking about Ross.
Like a police officer.
Yeah. He used to be a correction officer, but I'm not necessarily talking about Ross. I'm talking about there's a division of police called the Hip Hop Police where they investigate rappers. Because, you know, the streets and rap have had a long connection. Like, the streets and rap are pretty much intertwined and married at this point. You know what I'm saying? So anytime a rapper comes on, he brings his block or his gang or his crew or whatever, and you know they may still be involved in the street somehow. So the hip hop police was created to watch the rappers and their entourages. And like I said, the CIA has long been involved, the FBI, all these people have been involved. They're in these labels, they're A&Rs, they're executives. Like, Mug's got to be careful what's going on out here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But, and I'm you know, walking with what the caller said, his theory about all that. You know, I'm not going to say I wouldn't be surprised. But another thing 6ix9ine did mention, too, on his uprise is that he made a deal with the devil. He said that, you know, he initiated into the Illuminati to get him to where he is. I do know he also, and that could also lend to the fact that, yeah, he made a deal with them boys too, which can be considered that. Yeah, so
the
he
devil.
Did.
Exactly.
Yeah, he did say that. I did hear him say that. He did a video, and I heard it myself, and I was like, what?
And, yeah, he was cloud chasing.
Yeah, he did that. He tatted his face for that. The reason that he tatted his face, he said, so that way it can help push, you know, the publicity and things like that.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's what we're in right now. And just speaking of, like, a code of conduct and how things move, that's the thing, because I believe he's going to get out, and I said this a long time ago. This dude is going to get out, and he's going to go on tour again because his fan base is not cut from that same cloth. His fan base don't care that he snitched, right? They don't really care. He's going to come out and still be able to go on tour, which is crazy. You know what I'm saying? Which is crazy. But, you know, we're going to see how it play out, man. We're going to see how this thing plays out. Y'all want to hit the call lines? If you're just joining us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. This is our monthly open discussion topic. We're talking about everything from Tekashi 6ix9ine, Trump impeachment, the Amber Gaga trial, and, you know,
hands
anything
off
else
Donald.
You want to bring up. Anything
hands
else?
Off Donald.
The weasel.
Now, look, I do want to say this before we go to call lines, because I believe, like I say, Donald Trump has definitely done some illegal things while he's been in office. But all we got to is look at the people. Listen, though, listen. Now, this ain't speculation. You can look this up. The people that's been connected to Trump that is either in jail right now or waiting to be sentenced. You got Michael Cohen, who is his former lawyer and fixer. He was he's accused of campaign finance, of paying off Stormy Daniels, and he's in jail right now. You got Paul Manafort, who was his campaign chairman, who's in jail right now, right? You got Michael Flynn, who was his national security advisor, who's awaiting to be sentenced. You got Rick Gates. You got George Papadopoulos. All these people are waiting to be sentenced right now as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all in connection to Trump. So how is everybody around him getting locked up?
So,
but the only reason he can't get locked up is because he's the president, and you have certain you have to go through certain political proceedings in order to – you can't just arrest the sitting president. But everybody
so you're trying to make him guilty by
locked up. Yeah,
so you're trying to make him guilty by association.
They guilty by association, but they just can't lock who they associated with because they're president.
Exactly.
They ain't guilty by association.
I have several close friends that are incarcerated.
Oh, man.
That was them. I didn't have anything to do with that. That's them. Y'all know people that's been incarcerated. So just because he got a few, you know, cast around him.
I don't know anyone that's incarcerated. I'm sorry, sir. I don't know anyone.
At this time.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, buddy. So, I mean, just looking at that alone, that's a side eye. You know, everybody around you is getting charged with stuff, but, you know, you still out.
And there's a whistleblower. Well, I bet I don't know if I should ask this question. I'm just gonna throw it out. Is a whistleblower the same thing as a snitch?
Yes. Yes, it is.
All right.
And then it's just hot off the press too. They say the whistleblower is supposed to testify this week. Now, how true that is, I don't know. But they say the whistleblower
is supposed to testify.
Is
the whistleblower anonymous right now?
He's anonymous right now. He's anonymous right now.
He or she.
Yes. He or she is anonymous right now. What's going to be important, just to throw some names out there that's going to be important. The caller, Zen, mentioned Adam Schiff. He's a Democrat from California. He's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. His name is going to be popping up. Mitch McConnell, who's a Republican, he's the Senate Majority Leader. You got Trump's chief of staff, which is Mick Mulvaney. He's going to be on a hot seat pretty soon. You got William Barr, who's the Attorney General. He's going to be, you know, because he was mentioned in the phone call, actually. William Barr was mentioned, and Rudy Giuliani was mentioned. He's the former mayor of New York City, but I guess he's Trump's personal attorney at this point. So all those names are going to be important as we move forward with this. And Adam Schiff, dude, he's definitely playing a political game, and he's being hard, and he's coming after Trump because he's in charge of the committee that's going to be investigating the impeachment and all that. So. It's going to be interesting moving forward. Y'all want to? Let's hit the call line. Yeah, let's see what the callers got to say. Let's hit the call line.
Okay. Area code 319-572. Calling you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
P, Peace, caller. What up?
And you call 319-572. Okay, maybe they're just listening in. Appreciate the listeners as well. Okay,
yes,
area
indeed.
Code 314-381. Call you on Reflective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Man, I've been standing outside since last week.
Is it raining on
you?
No, it ain't raining. Weather good.
Look, let me ask you something. How is it that Joe Biden can do the same thing or worse, and he talks about it at a meeting with the Council of Foreign Relations? You didn't have to have no snooping going around, which a whistleblower ain't not supposed to be running to the press and all that with that information. The person who's taking the transcripts of the conversation, that there is illegal. Joe Biden said that he was going to hold up $1 billion unless the president fired the prosecutor who was looking into his son's activities. Trump didn't say nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may be true, but here's the thing. And
it
me and
is
Mufasa
true.
Had this conversation. No, I said that may be true. I'm not arguing that. But the thing is, most politicians, they're all crooked. It's just
wait a minute. Hang on
caught,
a second.
Who gets caught and to what capacity?
Why come Obama? Why come Holden did not press charges? Why come Obama's not being? Obama is the president. He's over Joe. The buck stops with him. He said many times. I know what it is is a double standard. Let me go on to the next point. Y'all talking about snitching. Don't when you have a crime in St. Louis, what do Chief Hayden in his press conference do? He says somebody seen this. Somebody knows something. Come out and tell us. You got a private number. So people complain that blacks don't tell about the crimes that they witness and know of.
Which
they
is a myth. I believe that's a myth. I believe that's a myth.
No, it has to be some truth in it, because I can tell you for sure. Because what happens when I've seen cases when people have called the police and the police will come to their house complaining about somebody down the end of the block, and the police is seen going to their house, then they retaliate against them. But you can say it's a myth if you want to.
Sense. Why would you call the police if you not go tell what crime has been committed?
No.
See, here's the thing.
That's not what I said. I said that they tried. You know, Demetrius Johnson on his shows on Sunday, he talks about that blacks see things. They should come out and let the authorities know what's going on.
And they do. This is what I'm telling you, because this is what snitching is. Snitching involves two people committing a crime together. One person gets caught and tells on the other person. That's snitching. A regular civilian who witnesses a crime, that's not snitching. You see what I'm saying?
But the people don't come out and tell, even though they know who's doing it.
No,
all right, then
what's
the blue code of silence then?
That's real. As we see with the Amber Geiger case, the blue code of silence means you're going to protect your fellow officer by any means necessary. Whether he does something illegal, criminal, or what, you're going to protect your fellow police officer.
But you don't necessarily know that they know. Let me go on to the next thing. Why come nobody's getting on this black group that's in Congress called a Congressional Black Caucus?
Because they don't do nothing for black people. They just got
the Congressional. Well, regardless, the Congressional Black Caucus takes core civic cash and boosts the politics that help private prisons. You know who Core Civic is, don't you? Core Civic is the new name for prison something of America, a private prison company. They changed their name to Core Civic. So why is the Congressional Black Caucus? Yeah, why is Congressional Black Caucus taking money from this organization?
That's a great question. And if you're asking me, I've always said that the Congressional Black Caucus has done nothing for black people. They need to take black off their name, actually. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
they've done nothing for black people in the last since they've been created.
All right, let me go to the next point. You got this Congressional Black Caucus members. And here's this point. They have scholarship scandals. You're talking about those whites that paid for their kids to get into these colleges. Well, you got letters written by CBC member Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson, who's a Democrat from Texas, and released by her GOP election opponent this week, suggests that Congresswomen were more intimately involved with steering $31,000 in CBC scholarships to family members and associates than she previously admitted. The two letters sent by Representative Johnson, you know, it shows that the organization sent the scholarships directly to her two grandsons and two grandnephews instead of to their colleges. That's wrong.
If you want to
lock these white women up for doing that, why come you're not locking this black woman up for doing it? Double standard.
Well, first, nobody got locked up in the case with the college.
It is what it is.
They did. That lady's got to do some time.
Felicity Huffman did not get
what,
any
like
time.
What, like 3 days? It wasn't even a full week, 13 days.
Well, it's still
like
time.
Days,
and she's on and had to pay a fine. Let's be for real. You don't treat black folks like you do these whites hit the news. And I show you another thing too. Anytime that a white person shoots, harms, or kills a black person, it's all in the news. White man did this to black man. But let it be the other way around. The black that stood over the police officer in Wellston in that confectionery and shot him point blank, there's nothing in the news that mentioned his color about a black man killing a white man. Let me go on to the next point. The Galleria, the last shooting out there, where you had this man in the Galleria, and they got signs all over the damn place. No weapons allowed. And even if you are confronted with a weapon in a place, owner of a business confront you, they ask you, could you please leave and take your weapon someplace else? You can come back. And that's all they have to do. That's all they do. Even if the police approach you, he can tell you to leave. And if you don't, it's just a misdemeanor, like a $25 fine. But oh no, this black man, he was a felon. Yeah, no business having a gun anyway. Then, when the police approached him, got police written all over their clothes, he bolts and runs. Mm. What you running for? Well, he's scared. Black men scared of the police. Oh, bull crap.
Right. Well,
yeah,
look,
like
his
mother and daughter was on the Demetrius Johnson show this morning.
Yeah, I heard him.
And
you know,
it was.
And I'm sorry for his death. I don't want y'all to think that I'm sorry that the man got killed. But, man, sometimes you contribute these things to bring them upon yourself. What you run for?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
well, what were they saying
on
the show?
Pianki, I know you heard. I saw you was on there. I was trying to get back to your comment, too, so I can acknowledge you.
I didn't make no comment
on
that. The people are grieving, and I don't like to get into them arguments. But they're trying to find.
Did she say that he ran because? Did you hear his mom or his sister say that he ran because of the manner in which they approached him or something like that?
That don't make no difference, ma'am. You ain't supposed to. What you running for? You're not doing anything wrong. You shouldn't be running. I don't care how they approach you.
I'm just trying to confirm. Is that what she, did she say?
Well,
that
yeah, she made. Yeah, she said something like that. But that's not no excuse to run.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
Then I guess he was taking the gun out of his pants and trying to throw it away, and it looked like the cop that was chasing him, he was getting ready to shoot, so he killed him. One other thing, and this is the last one.
Yes,
my hat goes off to Missouri's black billionaire, David Stewart, who donated out of his own coffers $757,000 to the Missouri State Republican Party. Thank you, David.
No.
it's a blessing that he have that type of money to do a lot of.
Well, you know why, Tom? Because he's a business person, and he takes advantage of the opportunities. Let me tell you something else too. You talk about these billionaires that's paying the college tuition of black kids in Morehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
Let me ask you this: every year, millions of dollars of scholarships that's directed to black students go unclaimed. Now, what is it? If you claim those scholarships, and don't say you can't get them. My grandson took a whole bunch of them. Down at Cardinal River, this one girl had $900,000 worth of scholarships. I think my grandson had like $300,000 or $400,000. If your children are educated correctly, they could take those scholarships, then they wouldn't have to be taking these loans and going into the debt like you see that they're going into. Now, a scholarship may not pay everything, but heck, it would help quite a bit. And then these other ethnic groups, these other ethnic groups, since we don't evolve into people of color, well, I'm people of color. I can apply for this scholarship. That's for blacks. Because they ain't, I mean, no use letting it go to waste.
Yeah. Hey, brother,
so you got a problem there.
I want to ask you a question, because you had brought this up several times before on past shows. Your name, I'm probably butchering the name. Janine Academy, how do you say it? The school on Garrison?
I don't know.
The Muslim school.
Oh, you talking about that's Muhammad Academy.
Right.
That's on Natural Bridge. Yeah,
and
go Garrison. Ahead. Mm-hmm.
Do you know much about that school? Have you ever went up there yourself?
Yeah, I used to go in there and teach the students how to do trade and stocks and options. But Muslims don't send their kids to that school. You know where they sent them in the St. Louis area? They either sent them Cardinal Ritter or out to CBC. Hubbard's kids go out to CBC.
Well, what do you think overall about that school? Because I know a lot of people don't know about that school.
Tuition. Yeah, you have to. Well, yeah, you got to pay. But, I know Brother Ibrahim, and, you know, they do the best they can. They have a daycare center there apparently is doing well. But when it gets into the school itself, like I say, the members of Mars 28, they don't send their kids to that school. I don't know. Maybe they don't have kids at that age. I was going to make a comment, too, about the brother made mention about Marcus Garvey. It was black people that sick the FBI on Marcus Garvey. The same ones that tried to destroy Hubert Harrison and get him fired from his post office job. Also, when your FBI director was going out there doing the COINTELPRO, what was his name? Edgar Hoover. You had a Democratic attorney general in Bobby Kennedy and also a Democratic president that let that happen. You had Roosevelt. You had Truman. And going on back further than that, but let's talk about the COINTELPRO. That was Democratic leadership. The DOJ was headed by Bobby Kennedy. He let that happen.
Right.
FBI has to answer to the DOJ.
Right. Now, this was at a time when we went into that last week as far as how black people became Democrats. You know,
well,
I went into that last week, and it was a 40-year process from Republican to Democrat for black.
You know why David Stewart and myself and a whole lot of the blacks are not Democrat? Now, I do vote for some Democrats. I support Jamil. I supported Yaphet Alameen because they was working on something that was of my interest. But generally, Democrats don't have anything that interests me. I don't need supplemental food assistance. I don't need those things. As a matter of fact, some of the things that they propose is detrimental to myself.
Exactly. Now, look, I said this last week. Would you agree with this? I was saying that really black people are really conservative when it comes to government, but somehow we've been tricked into just supporting Democrats because the quote unquote civil rights bill and things like that, which we switched over. But you know, fiscally, we are conservative. I think black people are conservative.
Blacks that move up in the economic stratum have to stop supporting Democrats because they work against their interests. Better family life. Why are they having this event out in Bell Fountain? Bell Fountain, you got middle class, you got upper class black. My daughter's got 5 acres out there. I'm getting ready to sell and get her out of there. But why do they have that event, the theme of the event, held down in the city where those type of problems exist?
Well, hold on, brother.
I got to say now, I live in Bell Fountain neighbors, and I was happy to see that event coming.
I ain't gonna ask you where you live. But the thing is, you know,
areas like Glasgow Village, you do have a lot of kids. But I do agree with you that yes, it needs to be down in, I'm glad it's away from Forest Park. But yeah,
Glasgow Village used to be a nice village, and I ain't trying to throw no rock. But you know who moved out there? I mean, we got to be for real and tell it like it is. Blacks that's been living out in Bell Fountain for decades have invested interest in their property value. They should not have to suffer of a depreciation in their property value because you have elements that's being inserted into there. You remember some time ago that blacks themselves complained to Dooley about wanting to put more Section 8 out there on Bell Fountain Road, out there around Spanish Lake.
Spanish Lake, yeah. I remember that.
And now you got blacks fleeing Spanish Lake.
Yeah, I remember
that. Well, it definitely was a good turnout, and because Bell Fountain got that, you know, that new mayor, Tommy Pearson, the black man, first black mayor.
Oh, man, that man is something else. That's a big deal.
He was a part of bringing that.
You going to see goodbye now. Hell, he was in the school district, man. Ferguson, Florida, and he sat on the board. The man is terrible.
It is what it is.
Oh, I know I'm moving my door. When I get off the phone with you, I'm going to tell her to start packing.
Oh, bro.
All right,
okay.
John. I'm going to let you get another call. Right, it's 7:20.
Yes,
okay.
Appreciate you. Man, he dropped some bombshells on everybody. Right, he started dropping bombshells. But look, now what we don't want to do is dump. You know, we can't dump on black people too hard. Like, we know we have problems, we have issues, we have a lot of things we need to deal with. Now, I do believe at this point in time, right now, September 29th, 2019, we are at a turning point. Again, black people are not supporting Democrats, right? Because we just talked about that. And why? And because it first gets political. We have to at least play the political game in order to make some steps. But we can do both. We can make the steps in a political game, and we can also do for self, like the other caller talked about. So I think black people are at a critical point where we are starting to realize that the Democrats have really put us in a crippling situation with all these government handouts, government programs, assistance, this, that. You know what I'm saying? We're in a position to now we're starting to look out for ourselves, which is, like John Henry Clark said, we are our only friends. We ain't got no friends. We need to look out for ourselves as black Americans, black foundational Americans who have roots in this country, and then we can start to make strides just like every other group does. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like every other group's look out for themselves, but when black people want to look out for themselves, oh, you being xenophobic, oh, you're being racist, oh, you're being... No, we're trying to look out for ourselves just like every other group. So I think right now we are at that turning point where black people are starting to get on their business sense and starting to get real about establishing a real position in this country. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just don't want to get to the point where we just dumping on black people and black people the reason for this, the reason for that, is the crime, is this, is that. No. No, family, that's not us. We at a point where we are at a position where we're making moves to really start to set a foundation for ourselves and look out for ourselves. And we gotta watch the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, for that matter, crash and burn if they're not willing to assist us in our upgrade. You dig what I'm saying? If they're not willing to assist us in moving forward, then we go do what we have to do, period, point blank. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to put that out there. But the caller made some great points. I disagree with some other points, but overall, you know, he made some good points. You dig? So, yeah, we're coming down to the last 5 minutes of the show. It's been great. We got a late start, so we do apologize to the callers and listeners for the late start on the technical difficulties, but, you know, we prevailed and we moved through that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we'll let let Rigel and Mufasa wrap us up, and I'll see y'all next week. It's Cosmic Kev. Y'all want to wrap it up? We got 5 minutes. Yeah.
Appreciate the callers again. Echoing the sentiment. Hey, don't you start now. Echoing the sentiments of my brother Kev there. Appreciate y'all calling in and enlightening us with y'all thoughts, helping us to grow. We helping y'all to grow. And that's what we need to do, continue to grow together as a family, collective mind. So we appreciate y'all calling in and tune back in next week. Be sure, come back next week. We're going to build again.
Okay. Mufasa
Rock
signing
out.
Yeah,
wow.
Yes, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Hands off
that remote watching that football.
Football.
Hands off football. But again.
Are you ready?
Yeah, you ready for some football? That's all I know.
Right.
But again, I would like to follow behind my brothers and say thank everybody for calling in. Everybody made some great points, and we enjoy, you know, the points that you guys call in and make. So always continue to do that. You can always call in and say however you feel. You know, that's what we want. This is collective mind. So we want to get a wide, broad perspective on the topics that we speak on. And we want you to tune in with us next week and each and every Sunday, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, and follow us on all the social media outlets. And if you have any show topic ideas, please feel free to email us at collectiveminds@yahoo.com.
Real quick, because we've been trying to get a relation topic in, y'all, but there's been a lot going on. So if you have any ideas for a relationship, because that's one of the main things, you know, that people deal with as far as, you know, male and female relationships. So hit us up. And my sister just gave you the email. You know, you might want, you can repeat it. But
collectiveminds@yahoo.com. And peace. We look forward to hearing from you guys next week, Sunday. Peace.
Yes, indeed. Peace.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square. We on the earn. We about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper, who peeping the peeper. Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking. Yeah, they gon' feel this. Let that play out. Right.
they thought.